He's returned from that dazzling aforementioned Vegas Bowl. You can find his work in the sports section of the Register Guard. You can catch up at registerguard.com. On Twitter, it's Austin Meek RG. Austin, how's it going?
Okay. Dazzling, I guess, is one way to describe that bowl game. Not the first word that would come to mind for me, but it works.
I get the trip to Vegas is kind of a work-oriented thing, and the game was a dog. I know you didn't leave as early as a lot of the other reporters. Were you there long enough to do anything fun or entertaining, or was Oregon-Boise State your highlight?
I made a little time to hang out at the sports book. I may or may not have bet a couple bucks on an FCS football game, which I think is a new low for me. One of the signs that you might have a problem, I think, in the textbook. But aside from that, I didn't do a whole lot. And I got back for like the last 9 minutes of the Chiefs game on Saturday after the Oregon game.
Oh, that was worth it. By the way, we've decided, for those of us who actually have bordered on gambling problems, that if you bet like the WNBA or FCS or preseason, and you only go over under as opposed to an actual team, it's not as bad. So did you venture into actually analyzing and picking a playoff team?
Well, see, this is funny. It was the two highest scoring teams in the FCS. The total was like 70. So I bet the under. And they were at 68 with like 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Team had the ball at the 3-yard line. So I was like, oh, this is over. Well, guy throws a pick in the end zone. And then North Dakota State has like a 12-minute drive to run out the clock at the end of the game to save my under. So my great Vegas story.
That shows up on Van Pelt's bad beats, but for you it's a good win.
Yeah, if I'd been on the other side of that, it totally would have been a bad beat.
You know, I don't think there's a lot of reason to sugarcoat things. It appeared on the surface after missing out last year. The Duck program seemed kind of happy to be in this game. But based on the performance, save a couple of Bronco miscues, I mean, that was a pretty dismal performance.
Yeah, they lost by 10 points, but they easily could have lost by 30. You know, to whatever extent Oregon was involved in that game, it was because Boise State left the door open for him. It really wasn't anything Oregon did. Pretty pathetic performance across the board. And you know, in some sense surprising, in some sense not. You know, surprising from the standpoint that I felt like with Justin Herbert healthy and with the talent advantage that Oregon had, that even if they weren't that sharp, Boise State wasn't going to just run them off the field. But not surprising from the standpoint that with everything that went on, all the distractions and all the different ways that Oregon was being pulled, not totally surprising that they weren't sharp.
We could probably single out, I was thinking Utah over Pitt with Alex Smith in 2004. Utah beat Alabama in 2008. But, you know, Utah's a Pac-12 program. We've seen Western Michigan make a major, Central Florida coming. But does any non-Power 5 program just get up for games like this? I don't know if they've got a chip on their shoulder as much as Boise State.
Yeah, Boise just lives for these moments. You know, they've got on their wall in their locker room their goals for every season. Their goals are to win a conference championship and to win a bowl game. You know, the bowl games are important for Boise because it's one of the opportunities they have to showcase their program nationally. And you think back in the great moments in Boise State history, going back to that Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma, bowl season has been the big stage for them to really take their program nationwide. So no team outside the Power 5 conferences gets up for these games more than Boise State does. And then the fact that it was Oregon, I think, gave them even a little extra incentive because, I think they do look at Oregon as a rival in a way, whereas Oregon I don't think does. You don't have to go back very far to find some bad blood in this series and things of that nature. So I think it just was a lot of things coming together where Boise was really fired up for that game and Oregon probably wasn't.
Talking with Austin Meeker, the Register guard. That first Oregon TD, the botched Statue of Liberty, not exactly Zimbransky to Ian Johnson.
Ian Johnson, yeah, no.
And so Troy Dye picks it up. He gets a great block from Arian Springs, but as an observer, Boise's just kicking Oregon's rear end. They're in the red zone. Is that a case of a team maybe feeling it too much or getting a little too cute for their own good?
Yeah, I mean, both of those late touchdowns for Oregon, you know, the pick six in the end zone and the fumble that was taken back for a touchdown, you know, it just opening the door for Oregon when they really didn't have to, you know. Boise was in total control of that game, and you know they did some cute stuff that worked. The play where the receivers all did the Michael Jackson move at the goal line. I don't know what the purpose of that was. It looked cool. I don't know if it contributed at all to the outcome of the play, but you know they clearly put in some stuff for Oregon. You know, prepared to throw some trick plays out there. But when you're ahead, what was it, 24-0 at that point, you really don't need to get cute. You know, all you got to do is just, even if you kick a field goal there, you know, you're ahead 27-0 at halftime. That's a pretty good situation.
Yeah, not a bad way to live. So when the season began, if you looked at the four redshirt offensive linemen from last year, Tyler Crosby coming back, some other depth and talent, you had to figure this would be an anchor of this team. And while there were some high moments during the season, how surprising or, I don't know, surprisingly brutal was their play Saturday?
Well, it wasn't totally surprising from the standpoint that who is their position coach? It's Mario Cristobal, who's been torn 100 different directions in the 2 weeks since the regular season ended. So I'm sure that the offensive line was not getting the attention from Mario Cristobal that normally they would get leading up to a game. So in that sense, not totally surprising. But yeah. With the talent that they have and the experience with that group, Tyrell Crosby, playing his last game in his hometown, I know he was really motivated for that. I think overall you'd have to say Oregon's offensive line played pretty well this year, which, that's a good thing. Since the offensive line coach is now the head coach, you'd hope that his unit played pretty well. Boy, though, Oregon had penalty problems all year.
Oof.
A lot of them went back to that offensive line. You know, that's one thing with Mario Cristobal getting the head coaching job. His group was as responsible as anybody for the penalty problems that they had, and that continued in the bowl game.
Now, obviously, people are talking about the similarities of how the Chip Kelly era began against Mario Cristobal, just horrible against Boise State. And while it was nice the players offered support for this hiring, it wasn't the reason Rob Mullins pulled the trigger. So what's logical, if anything, to read into how Oregon played and new coach and relationship to what the future might hold?
Yeah, I don't think you can really draw many conclusions from a bowl game. I mean, we see it every year. The way a team played in the regular season often does not have much bearing on how they play in the bowl game. And with everything that was going on with Oregon, you can understand why the Ducks played the way they did. But all that said, you go on the information that you have at hand, and for the next 8 months, all we're going to have to go on with Mario Cristobal is how Oregon played in that bowl game. To me, whatever you thought about Cristobal before that game, it's not going to change anybody's mind. If you had questions about the hire before the bowl game, you're not certainly feeling any better about it today. But I also don't think there's a whole lot to read into it, any new information there that's going to change anybody's mind.
Couple final thoughts for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. So I'm watching the game on ABC, then Royce Freeman surfaces, and then you hear at halftime, after Herb Street and Reese Davis had chimed in, Booger McFarland, former Texas coach Mack Brown, kind of going off, shouldn't be here. Then, as you wrote, some former Ducks weren't so pleased. So from no big deal to stay away to at least be transparent and not act like it's a military secret whether he's going to play or not. What's your take on that?
Well, a couple things. first of all, I got no problem with guys skipping the bowl game. You know, it's their lives, it's their future, it's their career. Royce Freeman gave 4 years to Oregon, went out there and, you know, played at less than 100%, took a lot of hits. Don't begrudge the guy not playing in the game. And I don't think it was a big factor in how the game turned out. You know, could Oregon have used Royce Freeman? Definitely. You know, he certainly would have. They would have been more competitive if they'd had Royce Freeman, I think. But watching how that game played out, I didn't see running backs having room to run regardless of who had the ball. So I don't think Royce Freeman would have made a huge difference. And I certainly don't think that him being on the sideline was some kind of distraction that contributed to the bad start. I don't think that was true. So the only thing I would say, really, you know, in terms of what you can apply for guys who are thinking about sitting out a bowl game, I think you can say that it's probably better, if you're going to do that, make the decision early. Take a couple days after the season. Think about it. Talk to your coach. Announce it well in advance of the bowl game. And that way it's not a storyline during the game. You know, it's not a big distraction during the week. You know, there's not all this buildup of, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? You know, would Royce Freeman have been discussed on the broadcast no matter what? Yeah, definitely. You know, he's a big part of the team, and the fact that he wasn't playing was a storyline. But, you know, the fact that they waited until just a couple days before the game, when, according to the players, they'd known for weeks that Royce wasn't going to play. It wasn't a secret or a surprise to them. I don't really understand the point in dragging it out all the way up until the game time and making it an even bigger story than it would have been otherwise.
What about the mentality of, he's a running back. He doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to risk injury. They've got literally the shortest shelf life of, like, any of the athletes or coaches that we follow. But they're all up in arms about that. But nobody mentions Willie Taggart looking his guys in the eye and leaving to better his position after 1 year and a job where you could earn lucrative bucks for 40 years.
Yeah, right. I mean, what's the stat on Willie? He's qualified for 4 bowl games and coached in one of them or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously the bowl games are not that important to him. You know, it wasn't like Scott Frost, you know, coming back to coach one last game with his team before he takes another job. Willie was playing paintball, if you believe his Twitter account, with the team at Florida State instead of watching the game. So, with a running back like Royce Freeman, who, you know, has already had some tread taken off the tires, you know, came back for his senior year when he didn't have to. He could have gone to the draft, but he came back and, you know, continued to go out there every game for Oregon. So, yeah, no qualms whatsoever on my part with him sitting out.
All right. We appreciate your time as always. Nice pull on the under there in the FCS playoff game. Have a great week. And, that's right. Next time we talk, it'll be post-Christmas. So to you and your ever-expanding family, have a healthy and a happy, Austin.
All right. Happy holidays to you too, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.